one really goes and says, like, I'm going to do a 7-day water fast. But it was for the Holy Week.
And I was about to go to the gym. And then Georgie was like, yo, it's a Holy Week. You know that, right? So he says, yo, why don't we fast for 7 days? And this guy who stood up in front of us, we laid our hands on him, started praying. The worship music's going on. He starts crying.
I'm just like not home as much, so I barely get to see them. It's like my two siblings that I never really talked to, like outside.
Amen.
Like we got so much more closer because of this vacation. I need not only just become a better friend or just a leader, but also a better brother, a better son.
For the prophets who fasted, right? This is very interesting. As well as Jesus who fasted 40 days, right? 40 days and 40 nights. So Elijah fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness for encountering God. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai before receiving 10 commandments. Like you can stand in the most chaotic situation, the weakest you've ever been. But when he's there, there's peace. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Bros Think Big. We're all back. I mean, it kind of feels long because it's been a week. You went on a vacation.
Yeah,
it has
felt long.
We didn't film for a week because we had to be ahead.
Took a little break.
Yeah. Mike, how was Florida?
It was good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great vacation. Well deserved.
Nice, nice.
Well deserved.
What and about you guys? We fasted for a week. You didn't believe us.
Yeah, listen, the viewer, you guys don't know because when I saw these guys at church, you were like, yeah, we did a 7-day water fast. I was like, whoa, 7-day water fast?
That's crazy. No, you didn't.
Because sometimes like you guys like mess with me sometimes and you're like, yeah, we're joking. But like, because that's extreme.
But
that's something.
It was very hard for you to believe.
Because it was like something, because that's extreme. And like, I feel like you would like kind of mention it like before if you were going to go up and do it, but you guys just did it,
right.
Which I respect that highly. And you even, like I literally said, oh, shall we proof? And bro put up a whole folder of videos of him from that whole week.
I was actually documenting the journey.
Yeah, that was enough.
So I was like, all right, bro, if you don't believe me, I was like, it kind of sucks that I have to show you proof for it. Because I would think that you would believe me, but I see why you wouldn't, because we didn't mention it to you. And that's a hard thing to do.
No, like no one really goes and says like, I'm gonna do a 7-day water fast, but it was for the Holy Week.
Yeah. Which, right.
I don't fully know much about that.
Right. Dude, me neither. I mean, Georgie, so it's actually funny. We weren't even planning on doing a 7-day water fast. We were not. So we had a detail on Monday. We came back home. We had food and everything prepared for us to eat. But we didn't eat afterwards because remember we had to go and, you know, check out the lenses and stuff in that store.
Yeah.
And then we came back home and I was about to go to the gym. And then Georgie was like, yo, it's a Holy Week. You know that, right? So he says, yo, why don't we fast for 7 days? And when you bring up a proposition like that and it's a Holy Week, plus you have to challenge yourself, saying no to that was kind of difficult, you know, not because, oh, you know, I can't say no, but it's just like, why not challenge myself? We've done 1-day water fast. I've done 40 days just vegan diet. So I'm like, okay, it would be a good challenge. And then Georgie says, if not now, when, right? And that is also—
Which is for Lent, right? The 40-day vegan.
Exactly. Because it's only once a year. And if not at that time, then when? Next year? It's just a big weight.
And it's an important week for those that don't know.
It is a very important week.
So it's the resurrection, the Last Supper, and then—
It's a bunch of things, betrayal, him coming into Jerusalem,
but it's that week of him getting crucified.
Do you guys think there was other ways to do that other than fasting, like other ways to celebrate the Holy Week?
Yeah, for sure. So
like, do you think, because when it comes to fasting, some people give up food, which is like mostly the main thing. Do you think people, when it comes to fast, they should give up more than just food? They should give
100%.
Up like things that are actually hurting them and giving them, like, pulling them away from Christ.
You tend to
when you start fasting, when you start with food.
Dude, when you don't have to, when you can't eat and all you do is just drink water, you're just, look, I want to say you're sharp in mind because, you know, you're actually very sharp in mind when you don't eat food and you have nothing in your belly. You're just kind of focused and you're ready to do the work. But you can only do so much work mentally. The physical part is very hard because you're drained. So You need to be in constant prayers, you know, asking God for the strength, just sleeping. Personally, me, I didn't sleep
because you didn't really need sleep, really, right? Or
it would be so much easier if I slept, I just stayed home, just watched some TV, just relax, staying on the couch.
You'd be busy or what?
It would distract me and the time would go faster.
Okay.
But when you're working, like for example, I was DoorDashing, I was delivering food, to go in restaurants. Oh, look at all these
I
foods.
Bet that was like tempting,
that was,
huh?
That was very tempting, right? That I also went to the gym every day except for Saturday, because Saturday I really felt like I was like, you know, can't really push myself, because that was at that time, Saturday, I was just like, I don't think I can do a leg day. And I'm like, if I'm going to go in and just do maybe a couple exercises, I'm like, it's not worth it. I would rather work.
Plus,
not
we, that had, I could, we had a church service too at 11.
Yeah, we did have that
too. It starts at 11 PM. And then it, we ended like midnight.
So the idea is you tend to give up other things too. You don't prioritize things like work or the gym as much as you prioritize making sure that you are doing good on that fasting part, that you're doing good on, you know, just staying close to the Lord. That's what it's supposed to do, is spiritually draw you close to Him, because through that struggle, there's really only one who can help you through that.
Yeah.
Because it's a bunch of temptations and a bunch of reasons why you should just say, no, I did it for 3 days. I did it for 4 days. I've never done such thing. Let me just break it. And that's the thing about it, is you break the fast by just having, depends also how your standards are, but I'll be honest, if I were to say, no, I'm so hungry, let me just take a little bite of that bread, I broke the fast. That's it. I cannot kind of live with that guilt. I would probably have to restart. So I was like, I just have the opportunity. This is the Holy Week. This is the week where Jesus went through suffering. So that is the strongest why I have. The week after that, there might not be as strong of a why, and I know that it will be tempting in the back of my head. I mean, it will be bugging in the back of my head saying, oh, you couldn't complete it. You failed. And that's another thing with the devil's temptation, is it's like there's this challenge that, you know, you throw onto yourself, as well as taking part in, you know, the pain that Jesus went through. And then the devil's there saying, if you don't complete it, you have failed. And that's a bigger burden than the one you're already taking on, which is the fast.
Yeah,
it is a big weight, and it's good to experience such thing, but food is just so essential for us. So you see food everywhere. You think about food everywhere you go, especially when you're hungry. So I would say fasting, you have to start fasting with food and then kind of work your way out to different things like social media, your phone. But I'll be honest, those are more easier than food though. I don't see anything harder than food fast. Nothing. Personally, me, nothing harder than food fast.
So but that's they do, kind of, but they what? Do. So with that fast, with that fasting, it doesn't only have to be water.
Right, right.
So tell Lent, them how they do. Yeah. So Lent is 40 days vegan diet, what he did last year. Was it last year that you did?
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago, yeah.
Last and year.
Cole was telling me that he was taking a break off of movies too. He wouldn't watch any, unless it's a Christian movie, he wouldn't really watch it. Pretty sure he was not on social media either.
Yeah, he was not.
So you're taking a break off of a lot of things actually. It's not just like with a diet. I think they're also not allowed to drink any alcohol at all, like zero.
Yeah, that is
movies,
one of them. Anything that will kind of take you away from the Lord.
Yeah, you just have to pray, read the Bible, go to church. So the whole week, there was church services.
Yeah, a lot of church
services. In the morning, 9:30, and then it would be 6:30. And then Saturday was, it started at 11 p.m. and until midnight at like 3 o'clock is when it finished, with communion and everything.
Right.
In the morning?
Yeah, because that was supposed to represent, so Christ on Friday was the crucifixion. Saturday was like just them laying Jesus in the tomb. And then Sunday was the resurrection. So we did in the morning, nighttime in the church. And then Sunday.
No.
After.
Well, that was. He rose 3 days after.
Yeah.
They laid him down on Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning.
I'm explaining the idea of why we went to church on Saturday and not Sunday.
Right.
So Saturday, nighttime. And then the resurrection we celebrated inside the church after it hitting 12 o'clock. That's already next day.
But it was the third morning, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's why they have that thing going on every year for Holy Week.
Dude, I didn't even know there was such thing as like the Holy Week, meaning, you know,
and it starts from Sunday
services
actually.
And all these stuff.
Yeah, it starts from Sunday till next Sunday.
That's when he enters the Jerusalem. We had that service on Sunday too at our church, and then from Monday to Sunday, there was some services. Like for example, in our church, we had one on Wednesday. There was a communion on Wednesday. It wasn't too long, just the typical 1 hour, 1 hour 30 communion, 1 hour 30 communion, but the whole thing wasn't about communion. I'll be honest. Like, Joe did it kind of quickly. I was surprised because what we did is worship for the first 30 minutes. Then he opened up the passage talking about, him dying on the cross, what the wine and bread is supposed to represent, his body, his flesh. Also the fact that the pain he had to go through, the fact that he became sin for us, so we didn't have to be on that cross, saying, God, why have you forsaken me? And these type of stuff, which was very beautiful. We took that bread with, you know, the juice, that the grape juice. And then we had more worships. He asked some people who needed prayers to get up. We would pray for them. And there was this particular experience. So I went in there, and I was the only one that was there because everybody else was busy at the time. Georgie went to an Orthodox church. We were on a vacation. So I sat in the back. Plus the time when I went in, it was already packed. A lot of people showed up. I was like, and it was at 2 p.m. So I'm like, there's probably not going to be anybody here, but it was a lot of people.
Spring break for people.
Yeah. That's the thing. I wouldn't think that, I would think people would be working, right? 2 p.m. And plus I didn't know Protestants really celebrated that like throughout the week. I know they did it on Sunday and then they did it on Easter, but didn't know they would do it in the middle of the week. Anyways, I sat in the back and this guy who stood up in front of us, we laid our hands on him, started praying, the worship music's going on. He starts crying. Like you can actually, because I touched my hand on his shoulder and you can actually see him moving and stuff and crying. It was beautiful. You know what I mean? So when you see that type of experience, you actually notice that, you know, somebody's really going through something that they need help with. And they have the courage to stand up as well.
It's a really brave thing, right?
Yeah, it really is. Because you're in a very vulnerable state. You know what I mean? You know, yeah. Afterwards, everybody knows that you're going through something and they just prayed over you. But it brings you together and, you know, it shows you that when you need help, you have to ask for help. And what a better way to do it in Lord's house with the people around you who believe in the same Lord and who all need Savior and stuff. It's a beautiful thing that the fact that I experienced that on that journey, as well as on the Holy Week, was very nice. And Saturday service was amazing. We actually saw Isaiah there. Isaiah came with his sister.
Oh, fire. Nice.
It was his first time in the Orthodox church, as well as the first time in that location.
But it was the Orthodox one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And his sister typically goes there, and he started at 11 p.m. and dude, it caught me by surprise. Isaiah just walks in. I see his tattoo on his neck. I'm like, has to be Isaiah. And then he sat with us. And that we can talk about that service too. I want you to also talk about your experience too, so we don't take up the whole podcast about our thing.
No
and then we'll kind of share what that felt like standing. Pretty much we were standing on our feet from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Standing up. We sat down, me and Isaiah, like three times, four the most. You and Cole were standing up, I think. Probably
we were used to it because the whole week we were together.
Yeah,
for the services.
There's something to that stuff. Mm-hmm. How was Florida, bro?
Dude, next week, before you talk about that, next week, the Holy Week, we're all doing it together.
Next year,
Holy Week, we're all doing it. We're all going to church too every single day and we're fasting.
Yep. I told Mike, he was like, I'm down.
We can do Lent. We don't have to do the water thing. I'm not sure if I'll do it, but
I'm going to do water again.
Yeah,
best belief.
Okay, bet. All right, that's a challenge.
7-day water fast, right?
And then going to church, at least if you don't do the fast. We have to go to church the whole week, and then Saturday we can go to church.
Yeah. While you guys were going through it for a week, I was I was away enjoying myself. But
but you were reflecting too, which is important.
Yeah, no, I feel like that week I didn't take it for granted at all. Like, I definitely used it to my advantage. Definitely not as difficult as what you guys went through for sure. But I think it was transformal in a way that. Because before I went on this vacation, I kind of for years on end, I was just like, I refused to go on vacation because I felt like I didn't deserve it, just because I wasn't where I wanted to be. Yeah. And it was almost like me looking down at myself in a sense. So me going on this vacation, and actually just like being there with my family, being present, and just experiencing like a new location, unlocking new data sets.
I knew he was gonna say this.
Unlocking new locations, unlocking new data sets, side questing.
And understanding Florida. That you actually do deserve it, like the work you put in.
Mm-hmm. Like I took it completely for granted, and just being with my family there, because previously the vacations I went on with them was with like 20 other people and stuff. And a lot of times it was like a party house in a sense, like everyone's drinking, smoking, whatever it is. So this time I was actually there with my family, but it was different because last time I went on vacation with my family, that's when I was a degenerate. That's when I was like in a very like dark place, lost, drinking, and I wouldn't really be with them. But this time around,
you weren't aware,
I showed up. I showed up to this vacation as like my authentic self, like this version of me that like I don't really, they don't really see that much, because all I see, because when I see them at home, that's just me making food. But I'm like out and about in my room. I'm podcasting. I'm now doing personal training.
Right.
I'm just like not home as much, so I barely get to see them.
Right, right.
And so going on this vacation, actually having dinner with them, going to breakfast, looking at new locations,
making plans together, forming with
my two siblings that I never really talked to, like outside.
Amen.
Like we got so much more closer because of this vacation, and it just made me think about like I need not only just become a better friend or just a leader, but also a better brother, a better son for. I mean, my parents and my siblings become a better person, not just for myself, for my friends, for the people do this for, but also my family, right? I feel like it's something that was kind of like missing for a while because I couldn't really truly connect, I guess, in a sense, but I didn't really let myself.
You're right. I was going to say, you also didn't just go out of your way, so to speak, go on the vacations with them and kind of give yourself that grace to say, you know, I actually do want to go on a vacation with them. And spend time with them, quality time with them. What I wanted to ask you is, when you said you were a degenerate when you went on a vacation, was it because you weren't aware on what was going on around you? Did you not think that you were going to enjoy it? Like, why did you not like going on a vacation when you were degenerate? What was going through your head compared to now?
In the moment, I might have enjoyed it, but at the end of the day, like, I was empty in a sense, and that's the only thing like I had to have fun and like relax. It's the only thing I knew with like how to actually like rest in a sense. It was very dumb and stupid. Like I didn't know Christ. I didn't know you guys. I didn't know what I wanted for my future. Like I was just so broken back then that the only thing I could fill myself up with was these things that were just temporary.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Vacation, it temporary filled me up. And people, when they have an idea about a vacation, they just go ham. They never really truly get rest because maybe they're just drinking. They're always doing something. But for this vacation, even for some of the days, I told my parents, like, I literally just want to like lay around. Like, that's it. I want to do nothing. I literally don't want to do anything.
Just rest.
Exactly. Be still. And that's another point I want to bring up. It's like, when it comes to resting, like I realize it's not about like partying or necessarily a celebration, but genuine like reflection or just boredom, like being bored, like doing nothing. And a lot of the time I just spent, like I was out there on the beach. I can't really just sit still sometimes.
Yeah.
So even when I was out like sitting on the beach, I couldn't really understand that like how people can just sit there and do nothing. And so the whole time I was just like just thinking, letting myself just be there. It was almost like I had to be disciplined in a sense to kind of just like sit there on the beach. And
What would your understanding be? What do you have to do other than sitting at the beach?
I didn't know. Like there's nothing else I really could do. So I just like, I kind of gave in. But I feel like some people, well, you might listen to that and be like, okay, well, there's some people who would love to be on the beach and like do absolutely nothing. So it's like, I can't get for granted. And I definitely did not take it for granted. But I found doing things like exploring places with my siblings, where I picked up a new hobby like chess. I played my brother in chess like maybe 30, 40 times on vacation. Like,
you beat him?
I'm the older brother. I have to beat him.
And every time he's on, his phone, he's playing chess, right?
Now he's obsessed with chess. He just wants to beat me so bad.
Yeah, okay.
Just wants to.
Do you guys have a chess board? Games?
No, I brought the iPad, and I had big chess board pulled up on my thing.
Oh, right. So you guys were just playing.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much like a lot of the time because, picked up a new hobby and stuff. And things like, I wrote it down, like sleeping, laughing, going out in nature. I think that's really rejuvenating.
You said the UV light was high there, right?
Oh yeah, man. It was really high.
Was it humid too or no?
No, it wasn't humid. It was,
which is
sometimes
good.
It was windy, but I think it was just like hot, but it wasn't moist or like,
yeah, that's, you know, good.
Like when it's like heavy.
Right. That's how it wasn't heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't that heavy, and I didn't really go in the water that much, but we went like snorkeling. We went on a jet ski. So I was talking about life. Right? You guys were over here fasting. I was over here enjoying myself.
You went on a jet ski too?
Yeah, jet ski. It was good, man. Yeah.
Did you do flips?
What?
I was about to say, were you going wild or just kind of cruising around, relaxing?
Dude, I love just cruising. But yeah, I did some, okay. Yeah, I was riding over waves and stuff.
Okay, cool.
But jet skis are really fun.
It is.
Really, really.
Because that thing about you said, like being still, is one of the things you also experience when you fast too, is you really have to sometimes just really be still and not think about too many things or try to do too many things, is because you pretty much just, you know, essentially you have many goals when you fast, but if you were to narrow it down, your goal is just kind of to complete it. And it's just like, you almost can't wait to get there, but you don't want to be mindless doing it. And that is also a challenge itself, because like I said, I'll be honest, I feel like if I was laying down, just watching TV, relaxing, pretty much doing nothing in terms of productivity, it would be so much easier, in my opinion. But it also could have been harder because I was distracting myself a lot from working. Like I would, so this was kind of like the routine, right? I wake up, I read the Bible as usual, brush my teeth, these type of stuff. Went to the gym, and then straight from the gym, I was working, I was door dashing. At night, I would come back. We would drink tea or something, because tea actually helps you sleep, not only because, you know, the warm water in your stomach. We would also, take electrolytes. I would drink water with lemon, salt, just to keep myself hydrated and stuff. And then at night, we would just read the Bible again, have a talk about on how our day went, reflecting. He would tell me the experiences from going to an Orthodox church, that type of stuff. Because I didn't go with him as often. I was mostly working. And then we would go to sleep. It's just so different. It's just such a different lifestyle when you don't have to think about, oh, because it's always like that. When I come back home, I call him on my way. I'm like, yo, Georgie, what are we eating for dinner? But that wasn't the case because
we couldn't eat,
right? And it just helps you to understand that, okay, when I'm going to go home, I have to sleep on an empty stomach. And let me just kind of get myself prepared that's possible, and not get in my head too much saying, oh, how can I even go to sleep without food in my stomach? Because that's another thing. People will understand who are going through this, where if it's a habit of eating before going to sleep, it is actually very difficult to go on an empty stomach because it's in your head constantly. You don't think about sleep until you get food in your stomach. And it's just...
You have a lot of energy, you think?
No, I didn't have a lot of energy. However, I was more relaxed. I was very calm. It was, and that's another thing that I like about being when you fast or you're deprived from energy. even when you have lack of sleep, you're actually very chill. Mm-hmm. Like personally,
some people get hangry though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't. There were some moments though. It is easy to get angry though. It is very easy to get angry when you're either sleep deprived or when you don't have food. So in other words, energy. However, it seemed like I was maintaining more of calmness because you don't even have energy to argue. You don't even have energy to get angry about things. You know, all you want to do is just go to sleep, just rest and wait for that day to break the fast. So that's a very good thing you get out of it. And you almost feel like you're kind of high. It's a good high. You know what I mean? You know how people get high from smoking and even like drunk from drinking? Personally, me, I don't know what that feels like, but I do know what it feels like when you're very sleep deprived and you're kind of high, or when you're very hungry and you feel like your eyes are just kind of shutting. And
because you know, like when you're fasting and you don't eat that much, and you don't really eat that much food, you don't need to sleep as much.
Yeah, that's another thing. You don't really need to sleep that much. And that's a crazy thing. You actually have energy, yet you don't. That's how did you feel? You kind of have energy, but you don't, right?
Afternoon, I had crazy energy when I would work out.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, I wouldn't even feel hunger at all.
Well, you always have, I feel like you always have energy, though.
Yeah.
You're just like hyper.
I'll crash out.
Yeah.
So mornings were the hardest when you first wake up, because that's when your body needs energy to go through the day. And obviously, I don't know the word. I forgot the word for it, but it's when your body's used to in this rhythm of eating in the morning, then, you know, whatever. And then nighttime, you also eat and then go to sleep.
Right.
I don't know what they call that, but it's like a rhythm that your body, that's why your body asks you to eat.
I'm not too sure what it's called, but I do. Because plus, we were fasting. So when you fast for the night, you know, your body kind of signals you, hey, you don't have food in your stomach for all those hours that you slept. And you just wait, because when you sleep, your body actually uses a lot of the energy to rest and recover and repair your cells and all these type of stuff. So when you wake up, you're like, oh, I just wasted all this energy. I need something to eat, but you don't have that.
Yeah. Mornings were the hardest, and then nighttime was the worst. But then it was easy because, like, I'll be honest, I mean, the sleep was just so much better at nighttime because I was more relaxed. I don't know, I don't really have that, like, stable sleep, I would say, because I usually wake up, like, in the middle of the night just for, like, a couple minutes and I just fall back asleep. I don't know, that's just my thing. And then, but this time
I was. Do you use a bathroom or just randomly wake up?
No, I just randomly wake up sometimes and then I go back to sleep. But this case, I was just out all night, which was good.
Which was good.
So first day was the hardest. We even talked about this. So the hardest part about it was the beginning, that the first day was the hardest, and then last day was the hardest.
You're just like, the last day, you're just like, I can't wait. Just like,
I can't wait till I eat, bro. I swear. And that was it. And the first day, since we didn't even have it planned out, it's different. You know, you just put you're not mentally prepared to do this thing. And then you come to, like, in the last second. That's what made it hard the first day. But rest of it was easy.
Now, when you broke your fast, did you guys feel like a flood of just like,
I just want to eat a lot?
Because whenever I break a fast for like, if I fast for like 18, 20, 24 hours, whatever it is, and I break the fast, I feel like this like wave of just, I don't know what it is.
You just want to eat a lot or?
Bless you. Excuse me. No, what it is like whenever I break a fast, you almost get not like brain fog, but you're not as clear.
Yeah.
Regardless. Like you're just like, whenever I would break the fast, I'm just not as clear as when I'm like fasted.
2 days I was bloated because I was eating a lot. I was actually stuffing myself. And yeah, I was brain fogged. I was like, you know what I mean? And now I'm good. But first 2 days, I was just thinking about food, eating.
Yeah,
I'm getting back to that.
Back to it. Get that muscle and the strength back. But now I'm chilling.
Did you guys lose weight at all,
dude? I stood on a scale on Monday, but that's after we
for
ate,
me.
So.
Not, you drank a lot of water though. Then.
Huh. Yeah,
we retained a lot.
I was drinking a lot of water, but I think surprisingly we just retained a lot. But the idea is, I think I only lost like 5 pounds. I was surprised how I only lost 5 pounds. I guess there's not much to lose, right?
Did you guys like go to the bathroom a lot?
No, not really. No, really? Because
what about the number two? Like, did you guys like
the number two? No, nah. Because you don't eat.
What? Wow. I did. I actually did.
Because you eat a lot to get
and
out.
Rarely.
And I searched it up. Why? I'm like, yo, I'm not eating during the fast. Why would you take it?
It's like you're just spawning in. I don't know.
and then it said because your body still gets rid of the. So look, when you fast, right? We all know that when you fast and you know put body your body starts to
heals,
and then all that bad stuff come out. So what's that bad stuff that comes out? Your poop. So that's basically why it was happening. At first, I was confused. Like, I don't need anything. Why is this happening?
Yeah.
I think the benefits for fasting, like 7 day fast, like I feel like there isn't really much benefit other than like the holy aspect of it and like the clearness. But I think after like 3 or 4 days, like there's not much more benefit than the 2 or 3 days. Because
I agree.
3 days in, like your whole metabolism resets. You're like pretty much in ketosis.
Yeah.
But after that
well, your
like
mental
third,
state
fourth day,
too. Your mental state gets very strong. So, I mean, I guess it is. There's a point why you're doing it.
But yeah, no, there is a point. There is a point. Physical, but you guys didn't do it for like the health benefit. You did it to literally, I mean, forgotten.
Yeah.
The holy, so it was
but
a different
then it
reason.
Just comes with it. The health benefit just comes with it. Yeah.
I'm sure your guys' metabolism just kind of reset like during that though.
I would hope so, right?
Yeah.
You had to, bro.
Had to. And dude, you know what's another thing?
Keto high. You guys are probably in a keto high.
Meaning like
just, ketosis. Like you guys were using ketones at one point.
We had to. Yeah. Our body. Yeah. Just burning that extra fat, whatever stored.
It's pulling. It's making ketones as energy from your fat storage.
Exactly. And the muscle too, because I
unfortunately,
I actually lost a lot of muscle.
I think it's after 24 hours or like the third day, like it starts using muscle.
Really? Really? I would think.
If you don't,
third day, because
I think it's third
24
day.
Hours is not enough.
Depends I think it's for muscle protein synthesis. Like I think it stops growing after 24 hours, but doesn't use it till 3 days.
Right.
If you want to replenish your body, I think it's 24 hours. It lasts for 24 hours. If I eat protein now, my body's going to be in muscle protein synthesis for like 24 hours.
Right.
So because I don't have to eat protein for another pretty much for a while.
Right.
Like the next day.
Exactly. Especially when you're maintaining yourself. Too. Right. So, I think when we're going to do it next year, I'm probably going to prepare myself a little bit more, meaning like what I eat.
Maybe do a 3-day fast before you do the whole week, or just go right into it.
That, either that, like kind of leading up to it,
how
or
would you
like
prepare it.
How would you, meaning what you plan? What you consume on Sunday before Monday starts.
Do you think it's better to, how about this, prepare yourself with carbs and proteins a lot, or with like
I would say high fats.
You need, it depends.
I think soups are really good.
Everything,
too.
Honestly. You need everything.
You know why?
Because you would need everything.
Everything.
Soup doesn't really have that much carbs, right? Yeah. Like it's not that many carbs, like versus zero. Pasta and yeah. So I think that would be good. The reason why is because soup actually has a lot of fat.
Yeah.
And when you make it with meatballs, for example, it has a high fat.
It has to have meat though, right?
What happens when you break a fast, what you're doing is giving your body like energy. So you can give it fats and it'll use it. You give it protein, it'll use it, or carbs, and it'll use it. So it really just depends on you.
I don't know. I just think soup would be a good thing to, you know.
No, I think it's good too.
Store in your body, and then the protein.
You would just need energy. Just a bunch of things that your body.
Anything
can
is better.
Use, like right.
Anything out of those three.
I wouldn't say.
Probably protein would be the first thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say.
Because when you spike, as soon as you spike your insulin and you have protein right in there, it goes shuttles right back into the muscles.
Yeah.
Dude, like a gym.
When I was fasting, you know what's another thing I searched up about it was some of the prophets who fasted, right? This is very interesting.
Some of the who?
Moses, prophets, as well as Jesus, who fasted 40 days, right? 40 days and 40 nights. So Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai before receiving 10 commandments. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. It's very interesting.
And he Elijah, had to go through a fast to, I guess, receive the commandments?
Elijah fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness encountering God at the Mount of God. It says that. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness before beginning his public ministry. Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days seeking God's guidance and revelation before receiving a vision. It's just...
It's like if you fast and then people say you're going to start hearing things.
It's not really biblical.
You don't know if you're going to heaven or not.
And... You know what's another thing about that is they all prayed to receive God's guidance, some kind of revelation, or just the readiness to do something big for God's purpose. Very interesting.
Essentially what you need to pray for, the strength to go through the fast.
You know why I also think it's important is because you actually get to know the devil more, right? When you fast, when you go through temptations and hardships, you get to see him in a way where it's not necessarily like physical. You see him in front of you, but you see him in very different manners. So
did you go through
for
that?
For me, it was sometimes it was just like, all right, ready? So I'm going to put this in perspective. There are some days where you think you're good, right? You're deceived. You're just like, I'm good. I can get through it. Because dude, there were some days, Tuesday, Wednesday, for example, I was like, I'm good. Thursday was so difficult. I was just going through it, man. I was like struggling. Like, you know, you feel like you just want to give up. Right?
For me, it was Tuesday. Yeah.
So right? What I'm trying to say is that there will be days where you're just like, if I can do this on, let's say, Friday and I have two more days, I just went through all these days and two more days is nothing. And then next thing you know, it can happen in the next hour.
Like your mind is like playing games on you. That was whispering in your ear.
Right.
Constantly.
So, and then one hour later, he kind of goes, yeah, easy. Test this out. And it makes you stronger. It kind of helps you to understand that this is the temptation coming at me. And how do I combat this? What do I do? Do I lean into one, giving in? These are the only options. Giving in, using my own ways of kind of helping myself and my spirit trying to, I guess, or using God's help. And praying and talking to God to give you his strength. And obviously God's strength is the best one you can use because every time I prayed, every time I, you know, asked him for strength, he always gave it to me, delivered. Every time I try to think outside of him, I couldn't.
And you know what's beautiful further. About fasting is I think even, I don't know how it works, but like someone that might not be that close with God or might even be atheist or whatever. I think there's gonna come a point where if you do that water fest, you might come to understanding that you need a God to guide you and give you strength. You know what I mean? 100%. Because you're that weak. You're really that weak that you can't go through it yourself. And well, for me, I think it was Tuesday, if I remember it correctly. Yeah. It was a very, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just a very, very hard thing to explain. Which it's almost like God leaving you. I was like, I don't know. There was just a bunch of thoughts, different, like negative thoughts coming in, but it wasn't my thoughts. Like I could see it wasn't my thoughts.
Right. I would
honestly say God left me for a little, just kind of like the walk in the desert. The whole day. Remember that time we had to talk about, when was it, dude? I was just asking you a bunch of questions that were a little bit like crazy a little bit. I was like, about God. I was like, the whole idea, I told you that some people believe that he wasn't fully God and he was,
is that the time when we had a little exchange of like debate, exchange of ideas with
the
practices in Orthodoxy versus Protestant?
No, I think that was after that day. But that day I was lost, like almost like I didn't know God. Like God completely left me in a way for me to walk through that desert, get the questions, fight through it. And it wasn't necessarily God leaving me. It was the devil whispering me that was taking over because I was weak.
Right,
my flesh was weak, right?
Right, right.
And that was a unique experience. I can't really describe it. I don't know what it was like, but it's like a...
But it definitely makes you strong.
In a figurative speech, it's like God leaving you almost. Yeah. Walking in the desert.
Yeah, I think God, and like, then
after
never
that,
really...
I came back. I was strong. Like, I was slaying them. I was slaying him left to right, bro.
Do you guys ever feel like God truly does leave you? Or does you feel like you just kind of walk away? Whoa, you walk away from him.
Yeah, I don't believe God necessarily leaves you because, look, our God is just so big and he's everywhere. That you can't escape him. He's everywhere in almost every creation.
However, it depends how you understand. Like how do you understand?
You have to You have to elaborate when you make these type of statements. But how I do look at it is him definitely taking you through something that he has a exit out of always. But he makes sure that he doesn't put. And you have to remember this verse: God never puts anything on your plate that is more than what you can bear. Never. So you can't lose a hope. Which is the devil whispering, saying, it is so much to bear that how can you take this? Remember the movie, The Passion of the Christ? The devil says, and I'm pretty sure it's in the Bible too, that this passage is, the devil pretty much tells Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, and he was telling him, the sin of people is so big that you can't take it. He was telling him to not go on the cross because the sin was so big that it was too difficult to bear.
And it was too difficult
to bear. It was very difficult to bear. And that's the only way he could do it is through prayers and that Holy Spirit that gave him the strength when he got up and crushed that serpent, right, in the movie, and then went on that cross. When he gained that clarity, that strength, that like no going back. That was him just... Even the conversation with Pilate is very interesting. You will understand it a little bit more when you go through that experience of fasting, is why Jesus was, he wasn't really answering Pilate. Like Pilate was just there confused, trying to tell him, yo, how can I help you? How can I save you? What can I do to not have you be crucified? And Jesus just didn't answer him. There was a lot of things he just didn't say anything to him because there was no point. There was no way Jesus was going back from going on that cross. Nothing could stop him there. That's why he told Peter, saying, "Devil, Satan, get behind me." There was nothing that was stopping Jesus after that prayer in the garden to him going to the cross. Nothing. That was the time when he said, "This is it. I'm going to it."
Is that the time? Maybe I remember wrong. Is that the time when he also told them, "The Son of Man doesn't, or like he's not like in a sense he's, I'm not getting crucified because like I can't do anything about it.
Right.
It's my own will."
Right, right, exactly.
He told him at that time, right?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
It's his will, not the people's will to him to be crucified.
Exactly. So people almost, he draw this perspective in people's eyes, as well as us, the readers, that people saying crucify him, didn't necessarily make that huge of a change because his character was, he could have just done anything about that situation, get himself out of the cross, just disappear right there, right then and there, even demolish all those people who were screaming that, change their minds constantly to say, never mind, don't crucify him ever, like these type of stuff. But he didn't, meaning it was already said and done from heaven above, from the beginning of time, that God had to do this, right? That was his whole plan.
Well, after
that, which is, right. Yeah. But that's the thing though, what, how do we measure time? God, time doesn't exist. So God is timeless.
No, but from our understanding, that's when it started, right? That's when the idea of God saving us started after they sinned. If they never sinned, I'm putting it in perspective, right. If they never sinned,
That would be more of like, you know, how we see the scripture and how it's going and stuff. But when you think outside of the box and how the understanding of being locked in the time zone, everything already happened, everything will happen. We just can't live out that way because it would be determinism and it would actually wouldn't make sense because we live in a time bounded world.
You know I truly do think that. Is that good?
Yeah.
I really truly think that like there's such a big contradiction between man and God, because when I was down at the Keys, there were so many churches down there. Like,
yeah.
So many like little, big, but they're all like different denominations.
Okay.
Lutheran, Methodist.
Well, you tell us about that. Were there some services? Did you attend any?
No, because my hotel where I was, it was like super far away from like, because all the churches were like down the lower part.
Okay.
I was at the highest top part and I need to like take something to go over there. I did walk into a few of them and like kind of check it out and stuff.
Right.
I sent you guys some pictures of that one. Yeah,
it was cool how they had Bibles too in there, like every single row,
it
bunch
was,
of them.
That was the most beautiful one. That was the most beautiful one I saw. Yeah. But there was like a couple of those down there. But on that same street, there were strip clubs, weed, like legal weed bars.
Near the church or?
Right on the same street.
Right on the same street.
There was multiple churches in that area, but also generously in the same area. So it's like a walking, it's like a contradiction.
And you walk in the Bible, you see all these, you walk out of the Bible and you see all that. It's weird.
It doesn't make sense. And that's something I noticed, that it's almost like, I wouldn't say it balances it out, but it just doesn't make sense to me. It's like, why would you have so many, if there's so many of these churches here, why is there so much degeneracy still?
Imagine this, somebody walks out of there and sees a church.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Versus so imagine someone walks out of the church and sees a strip club.
That's another thing too. There's always
both ways. It's like temptations everywhere, like regardless where you work.
It wouldn't change anything though, because their purpose opening a church near that place is because to save those people that are
unless those places were built after.
I think they were built after, because some of the churches are super old. They're like 1950s, even earlier than that. And then there's like in Florida, like weed is legal. There's two strip clubs on the same street, and it was like two or three churches on that same street as well. And it was just really weird. Yeah. I was walking, cause it's like a nice like town area. It's almost like a party town in a sense. Yeah. And it's beautiful. Like, don't get me wrong. It's nice, but a lot of just like trash down there a lot of sin. And I'm not
people saying, are crazy. They're all, especially nighttime, bro. They're all drunk. Cause I've been there for tournaments. And then after the tournaments, we'd be like going out, checking out the places.
You're like Miami.
They're all drunk. Yeah, they're all drunk. They're all partying. They're all out of their minds.
It wasn't a city though. Like, I wasn't in like a city. It was like towns.
Sodom and Gomorrah, dude. that's what it is.
Do you think usually because it's usually places that are south, not all of them, but I'm just saying places that have a lot, like the beach, the islands. The good weather's hot. It's usually those places that I noticed have a lot of that type of stuff going on.
I feel like, okay, so I
Cold feel State like don't there. Really have that much stuff like that. I don't know.
What, why churches?
No.
Degeneracy?
Like, not different type of degeneracy. I mean, like, just partying all night.
Yeah.
This type of stuff. I guess I just haven't been around to a lot of states.
I think it has to do with this environment. Like, you're pretty much on an island. You pretty much have a lot of things. It's almost like that saying, like, it's easier for a camel to walk through an eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. It's like you have a lot of things there. And I feel like
it's the weather too. Like, when it's good weather, you're out all day doing everything. When it's cold weather, mostly,
and your mood changes.
Yeah.
Your blood flow, the way you function, the way you see things, the way you feel.
But there's still poverty there. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not like all nice, but there are some like bad areas.
So was the bad areas and the good ones nearby? Because I know in Miami, there's a place where you might pass by a place where it's super poor type of thing. And then once you get past that, very close nearby, there's just
it's literally the same thing.
Super rich.
It's like chaos. Remember when we went to Philly?
Yeah.
It was just like chaos there. It was just like there was a homeless man in like this like broken thing. And next to him was like a fine dining restaurant.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I could see through people's like apartment windows, I can see what they're watching.
Right.
It's like very weird.
Yeah, if you do a 360, you're just gonna see all kinds of stuff, type of thing, right?
Yeah,
if you were to stand in the center of the city,
it's like that. The 360, the color, all the colors are out, like so out of order. Like the structure, like one, it'll be like a nice office building, yeah. And then just like an old shack, and then like right. Homeless people, and then like a super rich mansion. It's like what is going on here? I don't know.
Yeah, that stuff is very interesting. Yeah. Did you guys do anything for Easter or no?
No, like not really. We went to a nice dinner, like a super, super nice dinner. Like on this called the Sunset Key, which is really nice. But not necessarily, no.
I mean, I have one more question.
What?
What was one thing that you missed back home when you were on vacation? What was something that you were like, oh, I can't wait till I do this when I get back home or something?
I can't wait to work hard again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you live in Florida if you were to move there?
I'd probably live in like somewhere like in the city of Miami, just because of just like the amount of like networking and entrepreneurs that are there. It's like a hot spot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like imagine if we had a podcast in Miami, right?
Would
I live there long term? Yeah. No, I'll live there for a little bit.
Okay.
But not long term.
Right.
I'm not raising my kids in Miami. Like I'm not having kids and a wife in Miami.
That's what I'm trying to say, because that's exactly what I thought. It's like if you were there to exactly network, meet people, you know, spend time in at a beach, sunny place, feels good, all that stuff.
Like imagine if we had our podcast in a hot spot where people are always in and out, like in that area.
Even that, yeah.
We could like get so many guests on, talk about God, like change, like you know what I'm saying? Like
Change people's perspectives and just open up a new type of ways that people can connect in a godly manner, especially doing these type of stuff in a place where it's more ungodliness than godliness.
Yeah.
And then, you know, seeing that change, at least in your little circle, and then slowly kind of expanding that.
But overall, like the keys itself, like it's nice, but it's not like I can't, it's definitely just a vacation spot for me personally.
Yeah.
But definitely,
I want to go there once.
Yeah, as we should.
Like
I'm down to go back again, guys. But
I mean, but there's just so many other islands that we can go to. It doesn't have to be Florida.
But it doesn't.
The expenses are not even that high either, right?
What
would you say if we were to go for a week?
Dude, honestly, no. Like
all of us, right? Jamaica has good islands too.
The thing is, though, like it's actually expensive.
Mexico
down there.
Has good islands.
It's expensive just because of the restaurants. Like each person's getting at least, they're spending at least $25, $30 a person. Right.
And that's
we went out to dinner every single night.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed to have like a father who kind of treated all of us to that. But
amen.
It's super expensive down there.
But I think going outside of US would definitely be better
because
Oh bro, Florida's, I mean, we've been there.
I think it depends where in Florida, I guess, right?
If we're going to an island and you want to experience like the vacation and the island and like the small islands that are very pretty and stuff. Florida isn't the best one. I mean, it's probably the cheapest to fly there.
It really depends on what you compare
actually,
it to.
Actually, no, it's not the cheapest actually, because Jamaica, you can actually go there very cheap.
Yeah.
And it's Jamaica, so much better because it's less Dominican degenerate Republic. Stuff. And there's actually, I guess, better people than I would say in Florida. Florida, there's drunkies.
I don't know. I think there's people like that everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Latinos go crazy too, bro.
There's more
Latinos go wild.
But there's more and less.
Latinos are in Florida, in fact. That's... Yeah. Usually who party and stuff a lot. So imagine seeing that on a bigger scale. You just go there and it's all them just partying, going crazy. Going crazy on alcohol, drinking, smoking.
Well, it depends which island though. Because there's going to be islands that are not going to be chaos like that. It's just going to be very chill island.
Yeah. I think that would be islands where there's not a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's just like either a resort or just like maybe something like Hawaii maybe, because not a lot of like towns or just like city. Yeah. Is there cities in Hawaii? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's gonna be cities.
There's gonna be small cities.
Yeah, look it up.
Not like big ones, but there's gonna be small ones.
I think Hawaii is very beautiful too, right?
Yeah.
I just like my idea is why would I go to Florida and not look for another place where there's not the degenerate stuff? Like, why do I have to see it? Or why do I need
Hawaii
to be interested
cities,
in this type of
Honolulu.
Thing?
Honolulu. Teleokono, Pearl City, Hilo, Volcano, Hawaii, cities. What it says.
Yeah.
And these are beautiful.
There's just so many better options, that's all.
Hard to say, man. I don't really go outside of the Bucks County. Yeah, man.
And dude, when you explore, you actually see a lot of the beautiful side of the world that you actually have potential to live in. And it kind of motivate, I'll be honest, going to Florida too and these types of places, it motivates me a lot to, you know, go after my goals, my dreams, make money to be so able to.
You can be like free.
Free. Because yeah. Dude, who wouldn't want to go on an island and just go at the beach, see a beautiful ocean, that like that green blue ish, you know, it's very beautiful. You go in there, it's warm, you feel good, the sun is gazing. Your energy, every time I go to places like that where it's really hot, my energy goes up.
Yeah.
I'm ready to kill it.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, dude, even when I was like eating like a lot of like the fried foods, I'd say, like even like not the best foods, I was still walking in the sun. And I worked out like a little bit down there because there's like a gym there at the resort.
Exactly.
Something that I did miss was just coming back here and just working hard. That's something like it motivated me a lot, because some things that my parents like would say sometimes is like they would just talk about how like, oh, expensive it is, and oh, it's like this might be the last time we all come back here as a family. It's like that just like riles me up inside. Like it fires me up, because just like, no.
I want to be the person that
I will bring you back here 100 times. I don't care. Amen. I don't even care. Like I want I want that freedom, man. Whether I don't want to feel like that.
And you give that freedom to others, especially your family and those around you, right?
Exactly. And it's like, I want to be the provider of that experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. You want to be that person. Like, you know how you're saying, you know, thank my dad for being that person who blesses us to go through that experience. And then you
want
to be that
hard
person.
For that.
Right, exactly. So you want to be that person there that does that and gives it back 100 and 1,000 more. And I do believe that every single one of us in this room will do that. Amen to that.
Yeah, super God's, motivated, man.
Yeah, by God's grace. And you know what I want to kind of close it off with is I like how, and I would suggest this to everybody. We had this little conversation Mike brought up, which I really like, is reflection part. A lot of people don't reflect on these type of scenarios. Like vacation is supposed to be, in my opinion, a place where you go and you reflect and you kind of
It shouldn't be an escape all the time, like an escape from like your reality. No, you should.
I don't think it should ever be an escape from reality, because you live in reality every single day.
Regardless.
Because, you know, this world is a reality. You can choose to separate yourself from the reality, but you will have to make up something in your head that is outside of what you're experiencing, which is going to be an illusion. So when you're in these type of moments, you can actually see a lot of the more beautiful things you're in reality than trying to escape something, because you miss out so many things that are in front of you because you want to be because you're somewhere else in your head than what you're actually seeing from your eyes. It's crazy how it works, but it's so true. And you know, when you become a different person, you go there, I bet you enjoyed that experience so much, right? Because of how aware you were of the beauty of God's creation, you know, the beauty of the different experience, the different
seeing
environment.
Seeing the reality of the world, like
spending
you said, bro.
Spending time with your family, getting to know each other. Like, this was all beautiful and good experiences, but you would miss out on that when you were not looking at it like that.
Like, dude, like, some of the best things that I saw was not only, like, the sunrise in the morning, like, off the island. Like, who gets to experience like that shit was like it would literally look like a mirror world in a sense. Yeah. I saw like this other
sunsets
thing,
had to be beautiful.
Just like big structures in general, like that the church was so beautiful, like even from the outside, it's just like this one building that stood out of all the others. Yeah. It's like, wow, this is just so, I feel like I'm an adventurer. You know what I'm saying?
And I feel like when you like with these reflections and understanding yourself, learning about you, and most importantly learning about God and having a relationship with him, you are so in tuned. You're so in tuned to with the creation that when you spend time in places like that, you feel every type of wind, every type of like, you know, the sun ray hitting your skin.
You're super present.
And you actually feel, you know,
alive.
Alive. Yeah, exactly.
And that's how people
otherwise you're missing out. Exactly.
Full of vitality, full of just like, I think it's adventure. Like, I feel like people are missing that adventure aspect. And when I was on this vacation, like I spent a lot of time being curious and just like being like adventurous in a sense.
Right.
Figuring out not only like myself and my situation, but just like looking around me, being like, okay, like what's over there? Like, I'm gonna go unlock this location over there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's like gamifying it a little bit.
And being that free and going, like, imagine, right? Like us when we're going to have that opportunity to travel around the world.
Which we will. Which we will.
100%, right?
We will have many vacations together.
God willing. And when we do these type of stuff, and you get to see the beauty of God's creation, and second, experience different cultures, different people, and, you know, talking to them about the Lord, preaching the gospel to them while enjoying this life that God gave you, not just going there just to, you know, lay back, do nothing and just enjoy it for yourself, but also make sure that with that enjoyment, you give something back to the Lord, right? So all of this is very beautiful.
Dude, something I always say to God is that, like, I don't even care about any of my goals, any of my dreams. Like, it has to just be under God. Like, it has to be, none of it, even if I achieved everything I ever wanted, it does not matter. If God is not there, I don't want it at all. Exactly. I always,
if he's not pleased, and if he's like,
none of it matters.
It'll be empty. Yeah.
And I always say to God, like, whatever you want me to do, whatever it is, like, as long as you're there, I made it. Like, that's it. Like, amen. I'm with you always. Yeah. I want to be with you.
And that's the beauty of it, is no matter what you go through, no matter what type of hell you're in, when he's there, it's peace. Like, you can stand in the most chaotic situation, the weakest you've ever been. And this is what we experience. The fasting is, you can be in your weakest, most vulnerable, the most depressed, anxious, angry moment, but when he's there, there's peace, and it's nothing can take that away. So,
man,
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Christian culture, eh?
Let's do Christian culture real quick. Yo, you know what's another thing that I wanted to mention real quick before you pick something out is food, right? So we were craving so much different type of food, whether that be fast food or whether that be a restaurant food, just a bunch of foods that were just tempting at the time because you're so hungry and all you want to do is just eat. It almost doesn't matter what you eat. You just want to eat, get those calories in. Dude, I would go to Subway. I don't know if I would say this, but McDonald's looked good. On my like fifth, sixth, McDonald's looked good.
Mm.
And that's the thing. After we broke the fast, dude,
chicken.
Obviously, I DoorDashed the next morning, the next day, right? I walk into most of the restaurants that I was seeing where I was craving the food. No temptation whatsoever. That gave me the clarity once again about the tricks of the devil. And not only when you fast, but just the perspective on food in general. You only want something when you're missing it. But once you understand that there's something better to it, you know, you already have the discernment on the bad and the good. Meaning, when you don't have the Lord in your life, that's when you're lost on what's good and bad. Once you have the Lord in your life, that's when you see what's good and bad, because he is goodness. He is all holiness. He is all righteousness. When you have that in you, and when you have that relationship with that person,
you just reject the bad.
You just understand how bad it is.
Yeah.
You have no more temptation to go after. And that was same with the food, bro. I don't want no Taco Bell. I don't want all those stuff. It looked all good, bro. But I'll be honest. I'm not like, I want to go and try. I really don't.
Yeah.
There's no temptation to do it. I would go to a nice restaurant.
Dude, my whole Instagram feed was just foods, because
that's another thing, bro.
It helps me.
We would watch foods. Just people just eating food.
You don't do that when have you ever fasted like a long time? Does that calm me down? When I fast and not fast.
That would make it worse, bro. What do you mean?
When I lose weight for judo and stuff, I always watch food videos and it helps me.
Wow.
That's what I did. You can't do it too much though. For me personally, that's what I noticed. I can watch a couple videos and be good, but I can't watch too much because then it's in my head a lot.
It's just like watching girls, like when you're horny.
Yeah, I guess, but.
I wouldn't compare it with food though. No, I don't know. I wouldn't put it that way. Look at this.
Okay.
What is food?
Well, let's just
give it a try.
Yeah.
I know it's tempting, but maybe like when you're on your intermediate fasting, watch food videos, people eating it, and kind of kills your craving. Not just to some extent.
But I was watching this guy, he was just going towards, and then he would just try some foods. I don't know if you know Mark Wiens, he does that. He like documents the whole thing, like 40.
I used to watch videos, like 10,000 calorie challenges like years interesting. Ago.
Oh, those type of stuff?
Yeah. Those are cool.
Georgie, what's the question?
Is there a perfect time? Hello? Okay.
Is there a perfect time
to pray? Does it even matter?
Bro, of course it matters.
Yes, there is a perfect time to pray.
All day, every day?
Is there a perfect time? No, because nothing's perfect.
Pray,
but God.
Amen.
I don't think there's a perfect time to pray. I mean, you can pray at any time, right?
Yeah, because exactly.
Perfect time might be for someone when they're struggling, but you should also pray when you're not struggling. Right. So I would say no to this. And yeah, of course it doesn't matter, brother.
You always have to pray. Always talk to the Lord. Because it's a conversation. It's a relationship.
And it doesn't have to be like you go in your room, go on your knees, and it can be like you talking in the car, like out loud. It can
that's
be
what
like
I'm saying.
A conversation, simply looking like at yourself. If someone were to look at you, like you might look a little insane, but it's a prayer to God.
Exactly.
Same.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Quote of the day. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Isaiah 43:2.
Isaiah was very poetic. Like, I'll be honest, because I read the book of Isaiah, he's very poetic.
Wait, which Isaiah? The one we had here?
No, I'm talking about the Bible. A lot of prophecies, current prophecies on what was going during the time, as well as the prophecies of the latter days, and also just the way he puts stuff, very creative and very poetic.
Yep.
But yeah, this one, it's hard when you...
Mike, do the really shout out.
Shout out. Lean Joama, 6164. Hey guys, I just found out about the podcast. Love to see young guys, young bucks, young people talking about God and sharing with some that still lost God. But you know, that's still lost. God is the true happiness. Heart.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. It is really important. That's what we are here for. That's what we tried this for. Our purpose is to, you know, bring that
is
one person.
What?
Share that
is it a bro?
One beautiful message to somebody who wants to hear, who needs to hear it about the Lord. Because at the end of the day, like we said on this episode, if you don't have God, you don't have nothing. So you have to have God. And at that time, you have everything, even when you're deprived of anything that the world might throw at you. When you have a relationship with the Lord, that is all you need. Hold
yes,
his hand.
Thank you.
Walk with him. You have everything. Amen to that.
Amen. Thank you, Lean Drawama.
Yep. So until next time, guys.
Think big, grow big.
Peace.
Good episode, bro.